As a homeowner, I can't help myself. I'm always thinking about fixing this and changing that. For the money, for the beauty, for the knowledge and the peace of mind, it's about time for the Love My Renovation Project with Mike Young.
Renovation project. My has always stood for Mike Young, but Love Mike Young's Renovation Project. That's where we are today, where we discuss all things regarding renovation projects with either the FHA 203K or the Homestyle Renovation Mortgage. Those are our main thrusts. There's seven other renovation products that you could be consulting for if you choose to. We're not going to mention them on the phone because my competition doesn't know about them. There seems to be a great deal of consultants thinking there's no work out there for them, that the market is saturated with consultants now. That is the farthest thing from the truth. You cannot have too many. What happens when you have too many in an area is that more everybody in that area does more business because you have more people talking it up. Okay, but don't let it fool you. And if you want to get more business in your area or control the business in your area to a greater extent, you might try our training program. It's only $489. It's at 203ksoftware.com. Sign up for the training course. We've had old timers purchase our entire package just to get the marketing that's contained in the training program. So keep that in mind when you're not getting enough business in your area, particularly if you've had one last year. There was a 203K consultants group on Facebook, and I don't really care to advertise Facebook, but that's where they are. So if you're a consultant and you want to get more details, more information, get on that site and ask your questions. It's not my site. I'm just a participant. And they don't like us advertising, so don't ask questions that require an advertising answer. Fannie Mae recently added manufactured homes earlier this year to their renovation products. I don't know why I have trouble saying that word. Also had trouble saying Ossifer, and I think I'm Stober. They added that earlier this year, and they provide the purchase or refinance of manufactured homes as long as the land is part of the purchase. So the land, they must own the land under it, same as FHA. They both have the same rules, built after June 30th, 1976. Okay, so if you're a consultant, you could be a big addition in some of your business models if you cover those kind of houses. If you'd like to be part of our show today, please feel free and call in at 888-627-6008 and ask your renovation questions. Now, while most 203Ks go off without a hitch, there are some from time to time that will give you fits. And if you're a consultant and you need someone to talk to that's not in your marketing area, or that is, it doesn't matter. I help people regardless of where they're located. I got a kick out of a gal once. I was doing a speaking engagement at a real estate company in Antioch, California. I got there a little early. They meet at 7 o'clock in the morning. I got there a few minutes early, as speakers are supposed to, and I was looking at the board they had with the pictures of all their people. And the number one mover and shaker was a gal I had just helped with the 203K. We'd never met, and we walked into the room. They introduced me, and then I looked around the room and I couldn't find this gal. She was in the picture out there, and the only picture I ever saw of her, she had long blonde hair. And I said, is so-and-so in the room? And she says, I'm right here. And she was sitting right in front of me, but she had short brown hair. And I told her, it's not nice to do to old people. You shouldn't change that. Once you have a look, you got to keep it. So anyway, I told her, my name is Mike Young. She immediately stood up. Oh, by the way, the reason I did that was because everybody was talking. There's about 30 people in the room, and they were all talking, chit-chatting, and they had just introduced me, and I didn't have their attention yet. When I asked for her, they all stopped talking. She's their number one sales agent in that branch, in the company. I guess they got a couple branches. Anyway, she was kind enough. When I said, my name is Mike Young, she stood up, walked over to me, gave me a big hug, and planted a kiss on my cheek, and said, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then she sat back down, and that got everybody's attention. You know, when the number one person in your company, number one salesperson in your company gets up and recognizes this guy that she didn't recognize by face, it caught their attention. It's that simple. So I proceeded to say that what we did, and the reason we have a relationship, even though we've never met, is because I got a phone call from her not too long ago, and she said that she's using a lender that's never done a 203K. She's using a consultant that's never done a 203K. Everybody's doing their first one, and she's doing her first one. What I did for them was I got a hold of the consultant who I happen to have trained, so that was a good thing. And I got a hold of the lender, and we walked them through the process. We took no money for that help from anybody. Nobody offered us any, and we didn't ask for any, and none was transferred. We did it absolutely free. For all you people out there, if you're looking for somebody to help you with a problem 203K, many times we can do it for absolutely no cost. And if we do have a cost, it's only because you're asking us to physically do it for you. So you can also reach us at 203K911.com. where we will actually get on there. And again, 98% of the people we've helped have been with absolutely no fee. If you've got a topic you'd like to discuss on the radio, please feel free. We'd love it. You're not going to catch us with our pants down. As far as that goes, we can probably answer all your questions right there on the phone, on the spot. So if you want to call us in a private mood, go to 203K911. Send us a message on our message board there. It just comes strictly to me. No one else in our organization sees it until after I post it on our own in-house sites. So anyway, it doesn't cost you anything for that first talk, and probably won't cost you anything at all. So let's get on with the show. We're going to revisit just shortly the consultant's responsibilities to create an independent bid from our last show. There's been a lot of inadequate training of consultants, and it is not okay to get a contractor's bid and merely copy it. That would be a violation of the 203K guideline, and I guarantee you if HUD catches you doing that, they've actually told me if your bid matches the contractor's bid penny for penny, we're going to take you off the HUD list for at least 6 months as punishment. So if someone has taught you to call for a contractor's bid first, that is totally wrong. Change it. The guideline says that we're supposed to create an independent bid. We actually state on our website, know your project cost prior to getting your contractor's bid. That's an awesome responsibility. You're going to bid the job without the help of subcontractors, without the help of a contractor. But it's very empowering to the borrower. If you're the borrower and you don't build a house every day or renovate a house every day, it's very important for you to get that advanced information that this project is likely going to cost approximately $60,000 or 30 or whatever it might be. With that knowledge in hand, we send it out to bid. When the contractor bid comes in, let's say that you have a contractor, well, our bid comes in at $60,000, and the contractor's bid comes in at $65,000, $66,000. That's still a good bid. Okay, he's within 10%. So, in my opinion, and the HUD guideline, if it's within the contingency reserve amount, close the loan. But lenders don't listen to that. They don't care about the guideline except when it's to their advantage. So what happens is they may tell you to match the contractor's bid. So they are violating the guideline. Doesn't mean you have the permission to. So don't. It's that simple. What we do is we follow the guideline. We do an independent bid. We save it as draft number one. If there's any changes to the scope, then we'll give them a draft number two, all happening before we send it out to bid to the contractor or contractors. Now, that way we follow the guideline. Yahoo, we met the HUD issue head on. Now the contractor bids start coming back, and it doesn't have to be our exact price. Let's say that our bid is $60,000, as we're this example that we're using. Contractor one comes in at $65,000, contractor two at $62,000, and contractor three at $59,000. They're all good bids, and the $59,000 might not be the best bid. You have to look it over. You have to examine them and see where they did it. Every contractor has a specialty, something that contractor does better than anybody else that he competes with. And as such, he bids it very, very low. Quite often, it gets him the job. Some of the other things may be a little bit higher than the other contractors. These bids are all or nothing at all. So really, all you need to do is look at the bottom line. So let's say a contractor came in, bid at $66,000 and matched our bid. But you look at the individual items, they don't match. But the grand total might match. Close the loan. It doesn't matter. He's going to get $66,000 or $59,000 or $65,000, whatever he bid. We may have to use the contingency to cover some of his bid, but that's what that part of that contingency was for in the original guideline when Ken Crandall was around from HUD. He said if it's within the contingency reserve amount, so if your bid is his bid is 2% higher, and you've got a 10% contingency, we'll take the 2% out of the contingency. Close the loan. It's all about closing these loans quickly. And so often they don't close quickly. Quite often we find that what causing that is a loan officer who's never done a 203K and wants to do every phase and every part of everybody else's job. So make sure your lender's done the job. So, contractor bid comes back and it's close, but every number is off by a few dollars. It doesn't matter. As long as the bottom line is the same, close the loan. So what else do you do? Review each and every line item and compare it to your bid. Note where you differ by more than just a few dollars. And then talk to the contractor and ask, why is your number so far off here from mine? Many times, you'll find out that the contractor was told something by the borrower at the time of his walkthrough, and they added a few things, but he didn't bother to write those things down. So we ask him to back those things out, put them on a separate line item, and turn your bid in. All of a sudden, he's competitive. Okay, he might have a better way of doing a particular task than and thought so. I had years ago, I had a job in Point Richmond, California, upscale area, had a duplex, and they had tried to dig out a basement, dig it deeper. It had a basement there that was dug out properly and properly shored up and everything, but the basement was only about 20% of the sub area. Somebody else got in there with a shovel and started digging out around the pier and posts until they had dug a – I had a pier sitting on a 4 or 6 inch square pile of dirt, 4 feet tall. Earthquake time, that building's coming down. So they wanted to do it right, and I had two bids. One was 20,000 or something on that order, 15 to 20,000 less than the other bid. All the other numbers were very close, but that one bid was way off. So I called the guy that was low bidder and the guy that was high bidder, and all I told them was, please check your numbers on this line item. You seem to be so different from the other guy. And when I got back, the first guy called back and says, no, that's my number, you know, $30,000 to fix that foundation. The other guy, I think, was $12,500. Luckily, they hadn't undermined the perimeter foundation, only the pier and post in the sub area. So the second guy called back and he said, no, my bid's good. I can do that for $12,500. There's no mistakes. I haven't forgotten anything. So I asked him, how are you going to do that? Just what's the process? And he said, no, I'm sorry, I can't tell you that. And I said, well, I'm sorry, you have to tell me that. He said, no, not until I get the job. I said, well, if I'm satisfied that what you're doing is a bona fide way to get this job done, then absolutely, you got the job. It's that simple. I just got to be comfortable with your solution. And he said, well, we're not going to touch the pier and post that currently exist. We're going to go between them, dig down to the new floor level, and we're going to pop a new footing, a proper footing for those that have been undermined. And we're going to do that all the way through there. So we're actually adding a bunch of pier and posts properly set at the proper level. And I said, and you're not going to touch the existing ones. He said, no. If I do that, I'm going to have to shore up that building and make sure that we got it supported before we do anything. But the perimeter's okay, and I just got to add some pier and posts. At any time, they can take the other ones out. They can hire us to do it. We'll do it out of the contingency. We'll remove them if they want. But there's no reason to remove them at this point, and that's where my bid is. So he got the job. And it's all because he had a better way, a different way to make that thing work. Had a similar deal in Crockett, California, where it was a commercial building. Contractor one wanted one price, $12,500 to fix some commercial windows. Underneath the windows, the 2x6s had completely been eaten out by beetles. All that was left was a little pile of dust, 6 inches wide. Or 2 inches wide and 6 inches long, where the 2x6s used to be. Luckily, this house, this building had a 6-inch steel post, period, you know, between holding this up, because that was gone in the first contractor bid. Second contractor bid at about $2,500, saved about $10,000. It was my building, so I was all out about saving dollars. And the second guy, what he did different was instead of putting it back with 2x6s, he put it back with concrete. It'll never have that problem again. And the termites in our area and the beetles in our area don't eat concrete. They do some places, but not out here. That Formosa termite is what I'm referring to. Anyway, I see that we're running up hard on the clock. The engineer is waving at me frantically. So we're please call us if you want to be part of the show at 888-627-6008. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay tuned.
Got a problem with your renovation project? No one on your side to assist you or listen to your side of events? Go to 203k911.com and tell us the issues. We may be able to help you. We understand the program. We offer solutions that you can work through at no cost. We only charge you if you want to take charge and run with the ball. K911.com. If you're having issues with your renovation project, we may be able to assist you. It's nice to know you have a knowledgeable person on your side. We recently had a client that had a lender telling them that the problem wasn't theirs, but it was the correspondent lender's. Ultimately, they agreed it was their problem and remedied the issue quickly. Most issues have been handled without a fee. Visit 203K911.com now and let's fix your problems.
We're back with you. Thank you very much for hanging in there. Please call in at 888-627-6008 if you want to be part of the show. If you have questions, you want a clarification on something you heard me say on the radio, feel free. Well, now that we've said that, there's nothing in the guideline that requires a bid from the contractor. Whoa. So we got this contractor bid. Everybody's trying to get the contractor to match our numbers because we can't, by rules, by the guideline, match their numbers. And it's just some of these contractors are very, very busy right now, and they don't have time to fool with this. But they don't need a bid. There's nothing in the guideline that says they have to turn a bid in. They can use our bid. And if their bid come in at $60,000 and our bid come in at $60,000 and everything in between is different, what difference does it make if their bid matches ours or is off by $2? It doesn't make any difference. And since there's no requirement from HUD for a contractor bid, close the loan. I had a contractor or a loan officer get a contractor's bid first. For some reason, they thought that was the way to do things. Get that contractor bid first because they think their clock isn't ticking until the consultant is hired. So they have a contractor get it. And if it takes a month, it takes a month, but it's not working against their timeline. I'm here to tell you, you can close 203Ks as a lender in 30 days regularly by following the guideline. The guideline was meant to make things go fast, but you don't do it by getting the contractor's bid first, because that would be a violation of the guideline. So what happened was they got the contractor's bid. They handed it to us. We said, fine, we don't need that, but we'll use it for the scope. And then we did our independent bid, and we came up slightly different, but not enough to put in your eye. But what they did do when we made our inspection of the property is they missed a whole bunch of health and safety issues. Got nails that were put in the fence and they were sticking out, and every time you walk by the fence, a nail grabbed me. I would venture to guess it's going to grab some children that might be in that house in a few weeks when this loan closes. But getting the contractor's bid changed is harder than getting the contractor's bid in many cases. I remember one project, we bid it in 4 days. The contractor turned his bid 4.5 weeks later. Our bid was $159,000. Their bid was $298,000. The owner asked me, do you even know what you're doing? And I suggested that we get another bid to determine that. In the meantime, the second bidder was a company who did a lot of the work within his own company. And he doesn't use subs, so he was able to get the bid together in a week. Okay. He came in at $161,000. 161 and I was 159. Not too shabby. At that point, I asked the owner, do I know what I'm doing? She says, my guy was about to rip me off for $130,000. I said, yeah, but your guy didn't know you had somebody backing you up and giving you advance knowledge. Then, of course, she wanted to go negotiate with the contractor that we bid the second bid and try to get him down that other $2,000. I told her, I said, I don't think that's the wisest thing to do. And the reason is because he might take that as a sign of what's going to come and might not want to work with you. Okay. We had an interesting situation last week. Getting on to the next line item here in our list. The question came in. We have a new 203K client who is a general contractor who will be subcontracting some work. The client is getting a separate loan on the side so he can provide upfront funds for his contractor, since a 50% upfront material draw is not allowed in the standard loan. There are, by the way, that's the question. If he handles it this way, will the client receive the draw check made out to just him when it comes in? Or will it have to be made up to the contractor and the homeowner? Does this plan work under the 203K guideline? Well, first off, there is a 50% upfront material draw if the lender wants to do it. Okay, the guideline gives them the latitude to do it. I don't recommend it necessarily. I took over a job years ago where a consultant, a long time, an older consultant, been around as long as I have, had promised the people a 50% materials draw. And the clients finally just got pissed off at him and fired him. They hired me to get up there, and they called for a draw, and I got up there to do the draw. And the truck that had just delivered $50,000 worth of materials to the job site was pulling out the gate as I was coming in. And I walked in and I said, okay, have you filled out column 3? And he says, no, nothing's installed yet. I just got the delivery. And I said, well, there's no upfront money with this project, with this program. And all of a sudden it became evident that this was very stressful to the contractor as he started crying like a, literally sobbing. He says, the other consultant that was here said I could get a 50% draw. So I bought all the materials. We're going to knock this thing out in 3 weeks. I said, well, let me talk to the lender and see what we can do. The only thing that saved him is the lender. I took pictures of everything. The lender was kind enough to let it go. Now, that lender was Wells Fargo Bank, who doesn't do 203Ks anymore. To my knowledge, they may not even do construction loans anymore, from what I hear. So it cost them. But they were in a lawsuit with this consultant, and they figured they'd do it. Just one more nail in his coffin. But it is a mistake for the homeowner to pay up front, in my opinion. But we can't stop them. It's outside of our approval or disapproval. The check will still be made to both the contractor and the homeowner, and the contractor can sign it over to the homeowner, and he can go cash it. The problem is that the contractor will now expect upfront money for each phase or each draw. So though the homeowner is getting that money back at the end of the first draw, the contractor is going to say, well, just give it back to me now. Just sign that check over to me, and I'll use it to get the materials for the second phase. So that's kind of what happens there. It ends up biting you. And if there's a contingency need, he's going to keep that money. He's not going to give it back to you. He's just going to fix your house. So be careful. I don't recommend you doing that. Every time I've seen that happen, the homeowner is not pleased with the outcome. Okay. Next question that came over this last week was, this home we're working on is 203K, is has an 18-inch clearance in the crawl space. We were going to research this, but thought there might be a restriction on this with HUD. Thank you for your help. Well, the crawl space is supposed to be 24 inches. Okay. That might be 24 inches between the floor joists. So you want to take a look at that and see if the building, the local jurisdiction is okay with it. HUD quite often goes with the local jurisdiction and lets them override a HUD rule if it's not serious. Or in a case, we had one that turns out they only had a 18-inch crawl space, and that's the way the house was built. And when we went in there to try to dig it out, it was a granite. It was sitting on a stone. The entire house was sitting on rock, a big rock. So we had to back off, short of blowing that foundation away to dig it out, which might damage the house. We all said, well, look, we got 24 inches between the floor joists, so it's easy to crawl. It's not so easy on the rock, but it's easy to crawl, and if we have to move over to the next lane, we can get over there with the 18 inches into the next lane, and we've got our 24. It ended up being satisfactory to all concerned. Next question that came in was, are there any restrictions on log homes? Wow, where's the time going? Okay, last break, we started a little early. We're going to hold this question until we get back. We'll be right back with you after this short break. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
Are you thinking of remodeling your home? Then you should know about the FHA 203K program. You can refinance your mortgage and get the money for that remodeling all-in-one low-interest loan. Need a roof? Remodel the kitchen and baths? Add a room? Any of this is possible with the FHA 203K program. Go to 203konline.com. That's 203konline.com. Of becoming a 203K consultant? Contact us to see if you qualify. Home inspectors, contractors, architects, and engineers most likely qualify. Create an additional profit center using your existing knowledge base. For more information, visit 203ksoftware.com and you'll be glad you did.
Oh, hey, we're back with you. Sorry about that, but we got past the crawl space. Let's get into this next one, because that last segment was a little short and it seemed like it just flew by. I got a question last week of, are there any restrictions that HUD has on log homes and the 203K? My question back to them, well, is it in fact a log home? Many lenders won't loan on them at all. It has nothing to do with HUD. As far as I know, HUD doesn't have a problem with log homes. I've done several log homes over the years. We just wrapped one up, but it was a kit home. It was built with logs like Lincoln logs, except big. So they were entire logs. The old log homes used to have a log about every 10 to 12 feet, and in between that, they would string split logs and nail it to the logs. So the inside of the house was the inside of that split log, and they're not all that energy efficient. We had one of those not too long ago. The one we did recently with the Lincoln log type house went smoothly. They just unstacked the logs where that was practical, and or cut them out. And in some cases, they cut out pieces of the bad wood and filled it with filler. But on these very old log homes where they used the split logs and no real framing, I had a solution that I thought was a viable solution. That was to reframe the house on the inside. 2x4 framing just like any other modern house and leave the logs untouched. I think that would have worked. We didn't get a chance to find out because the homeowner had backed off. At the last minute, he just backed out of the project. He was a wonderful guy, but I think he was getting too much pressure from his in-laws and family members to do it. But I think he would have done well in that house. The house right next door to it was a similar log home that had just been built of a framed house where they then added split logs to the outside of it as a facade. And that's kind of what we would have entertained had our method gone through. That's what we would have used as a good subject. It was right next door. It was a good comp. Okay, next question that came in last week is, we have a potential new client who has reached out to us. He's purchasing a home and is doing a limited 203K. We've not run into this, what he's wanting to do before, and we were curious what your take was on it. It is a purchase, and the construction costs are about $30,000 to $35,000. All right, that's my first red flag. Then going on with his question, he would like to use a handful of contractors, a painting guy, exterior siding guy, bathroom, plumbing guy, and so forth, and be in charge of hiring and firing and the payouts, as he puts it. Is there a limit on the number of contractors he can have with a limited 203K? And what would you suggest is the best way to handle this? Your advice is appreciated. Okay. Yes, he can have multiple contractors, up to 5, painter, plumber, electrician, roofer, and so forth. That's not a problem. And if you're using our software, you just go to the configuration tab and click on limited 203K, then go back to the contractors and select as many as you want. You're going to put subcontractors in there like you would a contractor, and then select the ones that you want. So, but the problems that I see with the question is the construction cost is about $30,000 to $35,000. Well, first, you need to know what the contingency reserve is. Okay, if the construction bids all come to $35,000, this is a standard 203K and not a limited because you've exceeded the amount. I know you say the guideline says $35,000. The fact is the guideline never meant $35,000. Yes, they say 35, but in fact, it was 35, including costs and fees. Costs and fees typically run about $800. The lender gets that, but it's part of the 35,000. So you're already starting at 34,200. You're not. So if his bid is in excess of 34,200, it's a standard 203K. Yeah, didn't know that, huh? If a 10% contingency reserve is required by your lender, then you've got to take 10% off of 34,200 or another $3,400 and rip it out of there. So now you're no more than $30,200. And if it's a 20%, you're going to take another 10% off of that. So it's now the construction numbers can't total more than $27,200. Okay. So you got to, you got to be careful with these limited. They don't have to use a consultant, and if they do, the consultant needs to be up to speed on them. If you're going to set up the draw paperwork for the lender, then you should fill it out for a 50% draw for each contractor up front. And with our software, when you fill out, choose a number of contractors, then you go into the scope of work, and wherever you have an item of work, you have to select which contractor does that job and click on it. So that way, when you print out his all these draw request forms, then they'll all have the right amount in it. But since on a limited, they are entitled to 50% up front, and most lenders go with that. Wells Fargo didn't used to, but they went with about 35%. So, but they can get 50% up front, so they got money to go buy materials. But you ought to be sure and let that contractor realize that while he gets 50% up front, he doesn't get the other 50% for approximately 35 days after he finishes the job. Wow. So that can catch a contractor, particularly a small contractor, off guard. And run him bankrupt, possibly. So, anyway, next question that came in, is it okay for a client to pay out of pocket for work and be reimbursed through a draw along with the contractor? I have never had someone ask this before. He wants to avoid doing a change order, but wants to be paid back quickly. Well, if it's an item that's covered in the scope of work, then a change order is not needed. If he wants a check to be paid directly to him, quite often that's not going to happen. Most lenders are not willing to pay money directly to the homeowner. So that check is going to come in made out to the contractor and the homeowner in most cases. I don't recommend him doing that way, but if he does, then the contractor can certainly sign the check and let the homeowner cash it. It still doesn't sound like a change order is necessary. And the money will come on the one check made to both of them, and it's up to them to figure out how to split that money up. Sometimes if it's a small amount of money we're talking about, the contractor can write a check to the homeowner and ask him to hold it for 2 days while his check clears the bank, or vice versa. Next question that came in over this past week was, how you feel about a borrower and a contractor dating? Okay. Have you run into this before? Is it allowed with the 203K loan? We just want to make sure we're moving forward. Well, of course, I've seen a little bit of everything. We had one that was boyfriend, girlfriend. The boyfriend was a contractor. We did it in Marin County, California. And everything went smoothly. It was a very good relationship. Everybody was still married boyfriend, girlfriend at the end of the process. So that was good. Construction can test a marriage. But in this case, they were just boyfriend and girlfriend. We just informed everybody so that the lender understood this. And when I informed them, they said, yes, we understand that. I try to do everything in email, so I have a written record of it, but sometimes they just call you and give you the answers on things they don't want a record recommended. But what we did is we suggested they do it as a self-help project, and that way it's all above board. Everybody knows what they're doing. It is a boyfriend-girlfriend. He's not on the title of the land or the property. She is. As long as he's got a license and insurance policies are up to date, then there shouldn't be anything wrong with it. And you're doing full disclosure. You're not trying to hide anything. You're not trying to commit fraud. And that's what it's all about. You want to be sure you're above board. I had a realtor once said he had a 203K, and when I got there, dynamic young man, by the way, retired today, retired about 35 years old. My daughter said he retired based on the things you taught him, but went to do his first 203K, and we get there, and the borrower is his girlfriend. I know this because they both attended my daughter's birthday party, and I met them. And when I got there, they were trying to not disclose that. I said, look, listen, you're going to get in trouble. Maybe not this time, but next time. But you have to disclose this stuff, and that keeps you out of trouble. That's all. Just tell everybody who you are and what you're doing and how you're doing it, and it should be fine. And he did that, and he took it the right way. And my daughter said that he ended up retiring just a few years later, fully retired at 35 to under 40 years old, anyway, which was great. Next question that came in this past week, I think we got time for it. We have a final inspection next week, and they're going to do – there's going to have about $6,000 left in the contingency, wanting to know if they can use that money for some additional cabinets and lighting fixtures they want to do at their home. They still think they can close by their deadline. To me, they should have the contingency left over to use it however they please and shouldn't have a deadline it shouldn't need to have a deadline issue. Is this the case? I'm going to hold the answer till we get back from our final break. So hang there with us. We'll be right back. Call us at 888-627-6008 and be part of the program. We're coming back for our last segment in about a minute and a half. See you then.
We know which lenders are all talk and which ones can actually close your loans faster. You can depend on our consultants for the facts before you choose a lender. There are many lenders who will tell you they need 60 to 90 days to close a renovation loan. Those aren't the ones to choose. A 203K can close as fast as a 203B, unless the lender is trying to play all the possible positions on the field. The 203K is a team sport, and you should have the team members that know what to do. If your LO is constantly calling the consultant to see how is it going, you may want to reevaluate that member. Each member has a job. Let them perform their part while you perform yours. The countdown doesn't start until the lender gets your financial information. Visit 203k911.com. We know what to do.
Okay, we were just talking about having that contingency left over at the end, and can you use it? Well, there's several issues here. The guideline says the contingency can only be used for health or safety items or items of necessity. Okay, in reality, most lenders will allow that money to be used, but the guideline then says that for every dollar used, it must improve the value of the property by a dollar. So if you're putting in a new patio slab as an afterthought, the patio slab is likely going to cost you a little more than that, but I think it would probably fly, a deck would fly, any of that stuff. But the guy was trying to get around paying you a change order fee. I don't see where that was even a question. It shouldn't have been a question. There's no change order involved. He's just wanting to get paid, and the lender's not going to pay him directly. The lender's going to make the check, just as always, to both parties. Okay, the contractor and the homeowner. It's up to them to figure out how to split it up. Go with the contractor to the bank. Have him give you your half or your portion. There's lots of ways to handle that. guy. So don't, but there's no change order involved. The only reason you need a change order is if you have an issue with making a literal change, but a payment change order is not going to happen. The lender is not going to stick their neck out and pay one or the other over the other. You just have to figure out how to work that out yourself. You are entitled to $100 for a change order fee to write it up. But change orders cannot be paid by the lender until that work on a change order has been paid in full. Excuse me, has been completed 100%. Where a draw request, they can request a line item 50% on that item and 10% on that item, 25% on something else, whatever the percentage of completion is on each of those items. Change orders are different. They can only be paid once 100% of that change order item has been repaired. So if you're going out there and they called for a new deck for $1,000 and you've got that approved, everything's fine, and you get there and they got half the deck finished, they say, we'd like half that money. That's when the little bells go off in your head and say, no, 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 no. Change order items must be 100% complete before they can be paid. That's just the rules. So keep yourself out of trouble. Don't pay those things until they're done. Okay, we've got a 203. The next question that came in last week was that we have a 203K that had $600 set aside for an attic fan and the scope of work. It was in the original bid. Once they got into the project, they realized that the attic fan could not be installed the way they had planned, and they'd like to use that $600 to install interior doors and knobs. Can this be approved by the 203K consultant? We know it could also be worked out as a change order, but they would rather not do a change order. They do think they have, I don't think there's enough money in the contingency to do it. Your advice is appreciated. So first off, it is a change, so you have to do a change order. There is a $100 fee, but you can combine the actions in one change order. Okay, so there's no getting around the change order. We can't say that we're putting the fan in and actually put in doors. It just doesn't work that way. At some point, an appraiser is going to be sent out there, and if they're doing their job properly, then they will they'll want to see that fan. And if it isn't there, you have just committed fraud as a consultant. By the way, all these questions came in from consultants last week. So I don't think there was any homeowner questions. We're kind of compiling a few of those as we go along until we make a show out of it. But so do the change order. Say that we can't do it and give an excuse. Why can't you put that attic fan in there? What happened that changed everything? Because you should have realized that when you built the scope of work that it couldn't be fitted in there. But you didn't, so now you got to change it. Or it doesn't change the functionality of what you're doing. Maybe there's something else that you could do to mediate that. So in the meantime, you want to do these doors and knobs, so you're going to have to do a change order that says, we can't do the $600 attic fan. We'd like to move that money over to interior doors and doorknobs. And doors are going to be five doors at whatever they might cost, you know, $150, $125 a piece. They're all interior doors. $150 including the knobs, each plus labor to put them in. So you're not getting a lot of doors for $600. But you need to make that very clear so that the appraiser that comes out later or HUD comes out, every one of us has to have 10% of our work checked. Okay, so in that case, we have 10% of our work, but it's about 2 years later. But if somebody physically goes to that house and knocks on the door and asks to walk through there and look for those things, they're going to be looking for that fan. So you can't just ignore it, and you can't just arbitrarily change it. It has to be in writing. It has to be documented, signed by the contractor and the homeowner, that this stuff wasn't done and this was done in its place or its instead. It seems odd with so many choices that an attic fan couldn't be installed, but you can do one change order to handle both of these things, and you filled out the paperwork. It's not your fault. You're entitled to your $100. Okay. We have a client right now whose bid listed at $350. Oh, this is a question from the consultant. We have a client right now whose bid listed $350 in labor, $150 in materials to install kitchen appliances, including a kitchen sink, a faucet, a garbage disposal, refrigerator, stove, stovetop, microwave. So we're being asked by the lender if they can purchase an oven and send in a receipt to be paid out of contingency. Well, it still needs to be inspected, so it's going to require a field visit from the consultant. I assume, oh, this is the other question. I assume it'd be a change order, but marked not as a health or safety concern. So let us know. Well, you, I think you answered your question in the first place when you said the lender asked you to do it. Could you do a change order to do that? I would just do it. Okay, if they need a stove, you can do a change order. It makes it a health issue. If they didn't have water, they discovered it wasn't working after you got in there, after they moved in the house or whatever. So just, I would do it. It's already paid. It's already prepared, but you can't pay it until it's sitting there and you've shot a picture of it installed, not sitting in the box in the garage. Last question I got was, I think we got time for this. Oh, I would really like any information on any upcoming training classes. Watch our website, 203konline.com or 203ksoftware.com. Yes, we are going to have some training sessions next year, probably a half a dozen of them. I can see a direct need for this. Okay, so thank you so much for joining us. See you next Sunday at 1 p.m. We're here for an hour. If you've got questions, send them in advance or call them in at the show. Thank you so much for being with us.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you loved? Visit 203konline.com now, and let's get your home makeover projects done right.